Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, and I'm the Jersey Dog Trainer. You're about to listen to a free, on-air, online class in everything you ever wanted to know about dogs. If you're like me, and you just love living with dogs, and you want to learn more about them, you've come to the right place. You'll hear experts talk about all sorts of subjects, including dog behavior problems, health issues, and common reasons dogs wind up in shelters and rescue. You'll hear authors speak on their favorite topics, and you'll listen to veterinarians discuss diseases and other canine health issues. We've spoken to lots of trainers and behavior consultants about a wide variety of behavior problems, and we've talked to people who just love specific breeds of dogs. If you want to hear a show again, or if you've missed any previous programs, all you have to do is go to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Click on the menu button marked Rini's Radio Show, and you'll see a list of podcasts showing all the topics we've discussed. Click on the subject of your choice and listen to my 30-minute shows. If you're a regular listener, you can rest assured you are becoming a very well-educated pet parent. Today, I'll be speaking with Dr. Arthur Young. Dr. Young is a homeopathic veterinarian who is nationally known as a practitioner, lecturer, teacher, and author. He has over 5 decades of experience as a clinician, researcher, and instructor. Dr. Young resides in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and he conducts a very busy consultation practice and speaking schedule. Many of you have dogs that suffer from digestive problems, allergies, and other ailments, so you'll benefit from listening to Dr. Young's interview today. We'll talk to Dr. Young in just a moment. First, I'd like to tell you about the services I offer here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338, or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Dr. Young. Thanks so much for returning to the doghouse today.
Oh, good morning, Renee. I'm just thrilled to death to be here because there's so much good information to share with our pet-owning public,
yep,
so that their animals have a better quality of life and also so that they don't become a financial burden to the family by getting sick all the time.
That's correct. We spoke a little bit on the phone this week to prepare for our show, and I mentioned to you that it's so common for me to work with dogs all throughout each week that suffer from digestive issues. Do you have any reason? Can you give us any reason why this is such a major problem today?
Well, you know, the thing that we are dealing with is improper nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
That is a result of processed foods, for instance.
Right.
The grains that are given to animals are in the form of kibble, etc. Cats in the form of dry food more than animal meat and wet food that they should be fed.
Right.
So we have these situations that develop over a period of time. Nutrition is probably 80 to 90% of maintaining good health in the pets.
Okay.
And that involves not giving them foods that contain all kinds of preservatives and coloring agents and taste enhancers, things of that nature. And you'd be surprised how the cost of maintaining an animal in the home drops down dramatically mm-hmm. when the nutrition is addressed the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, we have a situation, of course, that we have so many allergies in foods today that reflect themselves in with the pets, mm-hmm. the grains. I mean, these animals, basically, let's face it, the cat is the quintessential carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you never saw anything except meat, you'd be thrilled to death.
Right.
He or she, of course.
Right.
And relative to dogs, dogs are also carnivorous by nature mm-hmm. in their DNA,
mm-hmm.
and they're being fed all of these grains, which are not really natural to dogs. I mean, you'll seldom find a dog, you know, for instance, sitting around a campfire, like cooking a hot dog. They like raw food. And it's been that way forever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has developed is with the problem of allergies to the various types of food grains, etc., that these things that develop, the chronic diarrhea and the vomiting, that sort of thing, that becomes part of their DNA mm-hmm. after a number of years with the breeds or with even, and also the animals, of course, that are rescue animals that are mixed breeds.
What
and
kind of
what? Just pass it on from one generation to another.
Right. What kind of
nutrition is the most important thing there is?
Okay. What kind of grains are you talking about? Now, some people say that brown rice is good. Some people say that barley is good. I mean, what kind of grains would you say that people should absolutely avoid in their dog's diet?
Well, just grains, actually just grains in general, because you don't know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of grains. The one grain that I will usually suggest to people for carbohydrates, we'll say, dogs don't need many carbohydrates, I'll tell you that right now, and cats could care less.
Okay.
But in dogs, the carbohydrate that I will suggest to people will be overcooked oatmeal.
Overcooked oatmeal?
That, you... Just like my mother used to make. Inadvertently,
okay.
But nevertheless, overcooked. So we have overcooked oatmeal, and then you also can use, of course, brown rice is fine. Nothing wrong with that. And another, I want to tell you one that's really going to surprise you. Black rice happens to be an excellent source of carbohydrate, as well as a very potent antioxidant.
Interesting.
Yeah, black rice. Now, that's a new one for you.
It is a new one. I don't even know if I've ever seen it.
Well, you're going to have to start looking for it, I guess, but it's there for sure.
How about that?
But, like I say, it's very important for the people who, when they buy their food, take a look at the label and see what is the first one or two or three ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the part that's going to be the most important as far as concentration.
Okay.
And when you see things like beef digest or poultry digest, things of that nature, that is, you could stay far away from that.
What is that?
Well, for one thing, and I don't want to shock you or your listeners, it's a roadkill.
It's roadkill.
Yeah, you know, when all of these things that you see on the roads that get, you know, get killed by traffic,
uh-huh.
those animals end up at a rendering plant.
Oh, my.
And then they're just thrown in at the rendering plant. They're thrown in with a whole bunch of other stuff and ground up,
mm-hmm.
along with their collars and rabies tags and flea collars and all of the diseases that they've got in their body that they've had
mm-hmm.
that didn't get cured.
Okay.
And they throw that in, and that's a very valuable source. That's a valuable source, of course, to the producers of food,
mm-hmm.
a valuable source of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Protein is expensive.
Okay.
And in roadkill, you'll probably find, I'll give you an example, would be feathers from the chickens that are hurtling down the road in those cages in the back of trucks.
Mm-hmm.
They take the offal, that is the discharges of excrement, from those birds, along with their feathers, and put that in the food.
Oh my God.
Cat or dog, and it's 2% protein.
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful?
No, it's disgusting.
You have no idea over the years the problems that have been created by the ineffective feeding, inappropriate feeding of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, raw diets are the most successful as far as maintaining health.
But most vets will turn their nose up at the mention of a raw diet. They're very much against it.
Who does that? The veterinarian?
Many veterinarians, yes.
Oh, yes, I know. It's what is not. Yes, absolutely. I see that. But that's actually false information that they're giving you.
Mm-hmm.
True, we have animals who are allergic to this or allergic to that, animals who don't want to eat this, they don't want to eat that. But basically speaking, the DNA of a carnivore, the dog, the cat, is geared toward raw meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start that idea. I don't know who did. I don't know who started that whole thing in the universe, but that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, some dogs or cats get spoiled because the owners are cooking for them all the time.
Right.
And when all of a sudden you show them some raw food, they turn their nose up at it.
Okay.
But this can be remedied by being very careful. Small amounts. When you go to a veterinarian, you have to find out from him what his or her emphasis is as well as the nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
This is particularly important in the animal that goes home from the hospital. Say, for instance, a dog or a cat is in the hospital for surgery. Something even simple, like a hysterectomy,
mm-hmm.
which really isn't as simple as we think it is because of the effect it has on the body, but nevertheless, a simple procedure. So they have anesthesia, they're exposed in the hospital to all of the other animal odors and smells and new food and stuff like that, which is upsetting,
mm-hmm.
which has a negative effect on them.
Okay.
So when they come home, you have to be very, very aware of what you're feeding them. Make sure that the animal hospital gives you a diet. Pay attention to that, particularly with the geriatric animals, the older animals. Any cat or dog that's 7 years old or older is geriatric.
All right.
Now, the word geriatric connotes, old,
mm-hmm.
walking around with a cane and things of that nature. But they are physiologically geriatric.
All right.
As far as all of the things, the functions that go on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say one thing here before I go on, just as point of information for most people. Everybody thinks that dogs and cats' ages are every year that we have is, 7 years of them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
1 year of a cat is equal to 7 years of a human. That is not true. Let me give you a brief breakdown so that you'll know how to age your animal.
Okay.
The first 2 years of a dog or cat's life is equal to 24 human years.
Oh, my goodness.
After that, every year is equal to 4 years of human life. So, for instance, if you have an animal that's, say you've got an animal that's 10 years old, how old is that dog or cat in human years? Well, the first 2 years is 24, and that leaves you with 8.
Mm-hmm.
8 times 4 is 32. That animal is 56 years old.
Holy moly.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I once got into a hassle with a very, very prominent dog food company years ago because they would advertise that this particular dog that was being shown on TV, it was a dog food company, of course, that the particular dog that was shown on TV was a 15-year-old animal. Therefore, it was doing so well because of their dog food, and it was 105 years old.
Wow, my goodness.
Well, I pointed out to them that 15 years is, if the first 2 years are 24, and then you take 13, that's left over, times 4, 4 threes are 12, 4 is 5, so 52 and 24, the animal is 76.
Jeez.
That's a big difference between 105, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Of course, and they wrote me a letter that made my hair stand on end. I won't tell you what they said in it. But nevertheless, they were so involved with perpetuating the myth of the dog age situation relative to the sales of their food, mm-hmm. that they didn't care what I had to say.
Oh, that's a shame.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Dr. Young, what can we do when our dogs have chronic digestive issues? I was reading something about detoxing dogs. What's that all about?
You know. Oh, you are so clever. I can't stand it. The thing is this. You will rarely ever see animals detoxed from an animal hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my personal experience. I've been doing this for 135 years, and I see this. In other words, there are veterinarians, for instance, or animal caregivers, who do believe in detox, and they see to it that it gets done. However, it's not commonly, and all of my practice is a referral practice.
Right.
I never hear anybody tell me, well, the dog or the cat's in the middle of getting detoxed or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, our environment on this planet is so polluted. We have all of these things around, you know, the air, the pesticides put on the grass that leaks off, that leaches from one person's property to another when it rains,
right.
For instance.
Okay.
You take, for instance, see a truck or a bus going down the street and the black smoke coming out of the tailpipe.
Right.
Talk about, what about the fuels, mm-hmm. the refineries, the factories, the industrial the processing with using zinc and metal and electronics,
mm-hmm.
forest fires,
mm-hmm.
solid waste disposal, chemical dumps, spraying of farms. All of those things have made, and you know something, just in the process of life itself, 5 billion tons of toxins go into our environment every year.
Jeez.
From industries. Okay? Now, where are the major sources of pollution causing it's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The house is worse than the outside.
Okay.
Because you've got the combustion sources from the gas stoves,
right.
building materials, asbestos,
mm-hmm.
and insulation, wet or damp carpeting. Don't forget, formaldehyde mm-hmm. is put into all carpeting to preserve the fibers.
That's true.
Our animals don't wear clothes.
Yeah.
They don't wear shoes and socks. So they're exposed to that stuff all day long while they're laying around on it, and the cats in particular are grooming themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
Pressed wood products, household cleaners, heating and cooling systems, pesticides. I mean, all of this stuff is there. We live on a toxic planet, and we are all toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And you must take that into consideration relative to how you maintain your health. And that's very true with the animals.
So how do we...
Exposed to the external... and internal, of course, environment, they're always sticking their nose in something.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. How do we detox them, though?
That's fun.
How do we detox them?
Well, detoxing, first of all, can be done by using diets that are high in natural foods, such as vegetables. You know, vegetables are important, not to cats, but dogs will eat them.
Okay.
You can green leaf vegetables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feed vegetables and fruit to animals,
mm-hmm.
you put it in a blender.
Right.
Why? Because the cell cell walls of plants, which are vegetables and stuff, contain cellulose, and the animals can't break it down that well, digesting wise.
Okay.
So as a result, they don't get the benefit of those perfectly good things that you're feeding them, that you're mixing in, and as a result, their health is not enhanced as much as it should be. All you got to do is take broccoli, and you take string beans, and you take tomatoes, you take cauliflower, you take all of beans, all of those things, and you put them in the blender, and Zippo, you're done. That's it. Takes 2 seconds.
That could be a whole meal.
A liquid.
That's the whole meal.
No, that's part of it.
All right.
But that can be stored in the refrigerator.
Okay.
So you don't have to just make it up every day.
I see.
There is no really good thumb rule relative to feeding animals, because they're all individuals, aren't they?
Yes.
So one would say, well, this cat needs such and such, and that dog needs so and so. And there are things out there. There's literature available to help you to balance the diet.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that veterinarians, that is, you know, allopathic veterinarians, not holistic people like myself, but allopathic veterinarians, they, and in a sense, rightly so, they don't think that the owners of these animals, the health caregivers of these animals, can balance out the diet with a proper number of calories, the proper number of vitamins and minerals and stuff that makes it a viable type of balanced diet.
Okay.
I mean, you and I, we don't balance our diets all, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every meal is different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's impossible to do that with dogs and cats. However, there are some wonderful, wonderful books out there that people should have. I mean, you don't get this information just by wishing that you would have it. Let me see if I can figure out how to balance out my dog's diet. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's much too, you know, complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is there's some books out there that are excellent. There's a Dr. Richard Pitcairn.
Yes.
Who put out a book called The All Natural Dog and Cat. You can get it, you know, from Amazon or at the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you should really, really do, is to have some information so that you'll be able to figure out how to balance out the animal's diet.
Okay.
There's another gal by the name of Anitra Fraser who put out a wonderful book on pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The New Natural Cat.
All right.
Anything you want to know about pussycats is in that book.
All right.
And particularly diet. All you've got to do, you just can't manufacture out of your head how to feed your animal.
Mm-hmm.
Want to balance it, and it's no big deal.
Right.
It's not an imposition on you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to get the information at the bookstore, read it, keep it on the shelf,
mm-hmm.
and after a while, it becomes very natural to you.
Okay.
All right. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Of course.
You made a comment to me that you said energy is king. What does that mean?
You have got a memory like an elephant. That's terrific. Energy is king. I'll tell you what it is. Energy is everything. Energy is how the body works. Energy is like there is in the body a thing called cellular communication. The cells talk to one another. It's a cellular energy. It's not like it's Czechoslovakian or Chinese. It's cellular conversations.
Wow.
Chemical cellular conversations which are based on energy. If you don't have the proper energy in your body,
mm-hmm.
if you have a lack of energy because you're ill or because you don't eat right, the cellular communication that creates all of the stuff that goes on in the body, just like a domino effect, you know, from one thing to another, so that the body is in a state of homeostasis,
mm-hmm.
balance.
Okay.
But that's all about energy. Now, the problem is that people, and in the medical profession too, they don't understand the importance of energy, the vital energy that makes everything move, that makes everything work the way it's supposed to work. So, then in that respect, energy is king.
I see.
Without proper energy, metabolism can't occur.
Mm-hmm.
Without energy, your brain can't function. Mm-hmm. So then what happens, and you know this yourself, Renee, you get into emotional behavioral problems.
Oh, my. Yes, you do.
So think about that.
Yep.
You have an animal on a poor diet. I'll tell you something that you might find interesting. Our folks out there might. There's a thing called cognitive dysfunction syndrome.
Right.
In older animals.
Correct.
That's right. And that means they walk into the middle of the room and they're standing around. They look around. They don't even know where they are.
Yeah.
And that's all caused by changes in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those things are going to happen, you know, to most of us eventually, to some extent. And it's just tied in with proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And nutrition is all about energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if people can understand that, they will have a much more successful situation with their animals, because if their animals come home from a hospital, we'll get back to that for a second, if they come home from the hospital and they've gone through all of this emotional stress being away from their loved ones,
mm-hmm.
being into an environment that is totally different.
Right.
Smells, food, personnel, you know?
Right.
And if they don't have the proper nutrition to support that recovery and the energy that goes along with it, you're going to have a longer recovery,
mm-hmm.
convalescence, or maybe no convalescence.
Yeah.
Or maybe what'll happen is that the changes that take place in the body because of this thing they've been through will become a hidden type of thing. It'll be there in the body. It never got discharged. In other words, it's there. It's there, and it'll come home later on in life to bite you in the
butt,
end, so to speak. That's how a lot of chronic diseases start.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I must say that is so important, and it's one word, and it's called suppression. So, we have animals who develop symptoms of disease, and so they get treated with drugs and things. Drugs and things never cured anything.
Yeah.
They suppress the symptoms.
Right.
Problem is like a hidden thing. It's deep inside the body as a problem of the level of health that particular individual has.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens,
mm-hmm.
like an emotional trauma, like maybe the kid that they've been raised with goes out to college,
mm-hmm.
and they grieve.
Yeah.
Or they have a traumatic injury, or they get a virus or a bacteria,
mm-hmm.
or they go through a surgery, or they get boarded.
Yep.
And then all sorts of things can start to happen to them.
Dr. Young, we only have 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure before we leave today that you give out your information. And before you do that, I want to alert my listeners that you and I are going to have a consult about my own dog tomorrow, because I trust you very much. I trust your wisdom. So please share your information with everybody. We only have about a minute.
Can they come back time and time again?
Yes, I want you to come back very often.
I've got so much stuff to share with folks.
What is your information? Tell everybody where they can find more about you.
Okay, well, they can go to my website, which is homeopathyanimals.com. Homeopathy is H-O-M as in Mary, E-O-P as in Peter, A-T-H-Y, and then the word animals, plural, with an S, homeopathyanimals.com.
And what's your email address?
Email is Doc Appleseed.
DOC Appleseed.
Comcast.net.
That's wonderful. You've been wonderful. I've been sitting here mesmerized by everything you're saying, and we will talk, and we will get you back very often. And I hope so.
I love.
We've got to go, Dr. Young. I'm sorry. We'll talk to you very soon, and I hope you have a wonderful week. I want to thank my listeners for listening in, and get your dogs out today for a walk, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody.